You are listening to the TJTV Podcast, only on Spotify and Google Podcasts. What is up, everybody? Welcome to the TJTV Podcast, only on Spotify and Google Podcasts. So, here's the deal. I'm just going to jump right into the interview, and here's what I have to say first. This guy, Trips Ahoy, he's on TikTok. He has 92,000 followers, and I have to say, this interview that we did is the most powerful interview I've ever done in a while. Probably my favorite interview so far of 2023, but, you know, it was a really fun episode. I really enjoyed it. This guy is so positive, and he has a really good outlook on life. This guy is just a really nice guy. Actually, we met over Instagram, which was pretty interesting, but, you know, that's a different story for a different day. But yeah, no, this was a really fun interview. It's about 45 minutes or so, give or take. But yeah, I'm just going to start the interview. We're going to roll it. Really fun episode. Really good dude. Hopefully we'll meet soon one day in person. And yeah, it's a lot of fun stuff to talk about. So yeah, if you guys are new, follow me on Spotify, TJTV on Facebook and YouTube, TJTV6 on TikTok. Producer TJ995 on TikTok as well, and more. All right, so that's really it. No more talking. Just going to go right into the interview. Here we go. Trips Ahoy. Only on Spotify. All right, I'm here with Trips Ahoy, who has 92,000 on TikTok. And he does some pretty fucking, I guess you would call it like, what, black comedy in a sense?
Yeah, it's dark, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's fucking hilarious, dude. When I first saw you, I was like, I gotta have this guy on. But anyways, how are you doing today?
Appreciate it, bro. No, like I said, I'm super pumped to be on. I appreciate you. I'm doing well, man. I just popped a little two zinnies to the fucking cranium. That's about it right now, man. I've been busy as hell the last couple of weeks, just like, you know, the TikTok thing. I just got started on this new app as well. So just like trying to turn this thing into like something real, you know, because it's a lot of jokes for sure. I make a lot of jokes and it started out as a joke, but now it's like, fuck, like really could take it somewhere.
How long did you start? Like how many, was it like a year ago or was it a few months ago? How did that work?
Yeah, so I had this page 2 years ago. I started doing fantasy football punishments in the football season, and my account got to like 30, maybe like that one got to 25,000, and then they banned me. They perma banned me, and I was like, ah, oh, fuck. And I didn't even bother. Like, I already had I had another account that I didn't post too much on, but I had 30,000 on there, and I was like, I'll just stick with that one for now. Then last year, I got back into the fantasy punishments and I was like a little more careful with what I said. And I got up to like 31,000 followers and some shit was going on in my personal life. I took a break from it. I actually got off social media for like 6 or 7 months and like all of it. It was crazy. And I guess it was around July. Yeah. Like July, beginning of July of this year, I hopped back on the account and I mean, it's been July, August. So it's been like a little less than 3 months, and I've grown. Like I'm almost about to hit 100,000. It's just crazy. I'm just going now, and I'm just in a lot better spot mentally than I've ever been in my life. So I think that plays a huge role in it. Yeah.
You currently live in Westchester, which is, I mean, are you in town, like right by the college?
Yeah, I'm right in South Church Street. It's a little interesting because I've been in this sober living house for like 5 months and college just came back and, you know, it's definitely, I don't have an obsession to like drink anymore. I was definitely an alcoholic and struggled with that shit growing up. And so that's a blessing. And, but it's really nice to be around people my age. Like, and cause like I would be back home. All my friends were in college or like just getting into college or just graduating. Like I have a lot of different age range of friends. Like I'm 21 right now and that shit was mad isolating, and it's cool to be around people that aren't like my parents' age.
Wow. So you were a big alcoholic then back like home from Florida, right?
Huge. Yeah. I grew up in Maryland, but I was down in Florida for a year and I actually started I was a bookie for a while, like about 6 or 7 months down in Florida, and that shit, like, that made my drinking worse. Got into coke for a little bit, and when I started doing coke, that's when the drinking just got completely out of pocket. It never, I mean, it was always a problem, but it was always a little, like, it was a little bit manageable up until I started the drugs, and then it was just a nightmare from there.
What age did you start drinking?
12.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I had my first like 4 beers when I was 12. Took them from my dad. I was fucking blitzed. And then, yeah, dude, it's like, I could really blame it on anything. Like, I had a good, like, great family and shit, but like, got my first concussion probably 2 months, 2 or 3 months before I drank. I've had 5 major ones from sports, car accidents, shit like that. So I think it was inevitable that I was going to have a problem at some point. And it just, being away from that shit is like, it's huge for me. It, like, everything I do is like just better now. I don't know how to really explain it.
Did you smoke weed too and do a bunch of, like, you said coke, but did you also like smoke weed and whatnot?
I actually, like, I mean, I have smoked weed, but I never really, like, got down with it. I was the kind of guy, like, party guy that just wanted to stay up the whole night. And, like, every time I smoked weed, I would just, I mean, I didn't mind it, but I would just go to bed. Like, I would just eat and go to bed. I know a lot of my friends, they're able to just smoke and, like, kind of, like, you know, in the middle of the day, and, like, it helps them, and that's awesome. But me, I just would just knock. I'd just go to bed. So I never really got into it too much. I fucked with edibles a little bit. They were fun.
Yeah, I mean, like you saw me like 10 minutes ago, like, I do it just to, with my job, it's a very high stress level job, and it really, like, I get like mad anxiety going there, and I know why, but it's just like, it's so high fucking level stress. I gotta keep myself, like, you know, perfect, you know?
Yeah. And I know a lot, like, with the weed and stuff, like, that's definitely, there's a lot of positives to that. I don't think it would help me, because I know it's just, like, I'll just want to go to bed, because, like, that's how it was for me. But I respect that, dude. And it's like, I know you grind like a motherfucker. You're telling me your hours, it's got to be tough.
Oh, yeah. It's fucked. I mean, getting up at 3 in the morning sometimes and working till 6 at night, it fucking sucks sometimes.
Yeah. You love what you do, though?
Yeah, I do. It's, I'll tell you one thing. Growing up, I got into a class that was called TV production, and it was basically the school news, and I was on TV for the school news. It was like the school channel. No one really watches, like, maybe 5 people. I was like, you know, I could take this to go, I could, like, do radio. My parents told me, you know, you're never going to get into it, this, that, and the third. I was like, I'm never going to get into it. I'm going to prove your ass is wrong. And I proved everybody wrong since.
That's sick.
Same thing with, too. Like, I started doing this 8 years ago. And I would just talk mad shit on, like, I would just do stupid topics. Didn't really get anywhere. Interviews is pretty much what got me to where I am today. So,
you know. Yeah. I respect that, dude. That's sick. And podcast's definitely something I want to get into in the future. Because a lot of people, dude, like, it's hard because, like, I have this, like, persona online. And then, like, at the same time, like, I'm going through this, like, self journey and trying to become a better person and treat people, to, like, well. But it's like the TikTok and that shit, that's just such a good outlet to have. And I'm trying to, like, learning how to manage all that shit in my life is just, it's been huge. It's like another level of discipline in my everyday posting and, like, trying not to say the wrong thing. Like, I made a bad joke today. It was dark. Yeah. But I'm just letting it ride. It's got like 130,000 views in 2 hours. It's just gonna blow up. But yeah, dude, it's a lot of, I don't know. I'm pretty big into, like, and it's weird. Like, I don't know if you have experience with, like, mushrooms or anything.
No, coke is the furthest I've gone.
Yeah, dude. So I was on a 10-day bender, earlier this year, couldn't fucking stop. Before I moved, literally before I moved up here, and I knew these people down in North Carolina who they do like psilocybin treatment. It's kind of like ayahuasca, but a step down. And fucking went down there, did 5 grams of mushrooms right out of the ground. They literally grow it right in Asheville, North Carolina. And like, I don't know, man. It's like my perspective, like on life, just completely changed. And ever since then, it's been like my life's just different. I don't even know how to. I used to be just that guy that was just tweaking out 24/7, and now I can like, I can do this shit and like do everything I have to do to stay sober, work a fucking job that I hate right now, which is fine. Do the TikTok thing, but like, go like at night, like be at peace, which is something I've never been able to do. It's like some real shit.
How long ago did you move up here?
Almost 5 months. It's like almost 150 days on the dot.
Really? And you meant these guys who want to stay sober at the age of 22 when kids mostly your age and my age, they really just want to go out and drink and smoke and do a bunch of shit.
Yeah. So I'm at this house I'm at right now. There's 30 dudes in here that are all trying to get sober. And I'm about to move out into an apartment complex with some of them. And that'll be pretty sick. A little more freedom because it's definitely a structured environment here. But yeah, it's weird. It's definitely weird. It's not my like I've been to the rehabs and shit from the coke, and like it's all starting to like make sense in my mind, I guess. I'm definitely a fucking alcoholic, which is something I never would have thought.
No, yeah, I get that completely. It's alcohol is a big, it's really big in my family. I'm sure it's big in a lot of people's families. And yeah. I told you earlier with my dad, like, I don't know, it's scary just to think like what could happen in an event like that. Cause he didn't come home that night. That's how we found out where he was, you know,
dude, that's crazy to think. Cause last year when I went to rehab, I was down in Tuscaloosa visiting my buddy at Alabama, and you know, we were just going crazy for a couple of days, and that same shit happened, bro. Like we were at the bar, we decided to Uber back. It was like a spiritual moment that I look back on. Like I got kicked out of the bar for hitting on this girl who was, I shouldn't have even got kicked out of the bar. I just told her she looked good, like she was hot, and like the dude, like one of the bouncers was her boyfriend, so I got kicked out because of that. But sure. Me and my boy Ubered back to his place, and the guy who drove us there, which was his roommate, like didn't come home. And we just thought he, cause he decided to stay. We thought that he just went back to like a girl's place or something. And 8 AM rolls around. My boy answers the phone, and bro, like crashed his car. Some like 4 girls, in some sorority at Alabama ran a wreck. He was hammered though. But if you saw the video, like it wasn't his fault. The chicks ran a red at a stop sign, crushed him, but like car flipped. Like if we were in the car, we would have been fucking toast. And we were just like, holy fuck, he's in jail. And he got out, but like still, I know exactly that feeling of like, damn, where the fuck? That's crazy. He didn't come home. Like what the fuck?
Yeah.
That's the craziness. That's where drinking for me takes me. It takes me to puts myself in these situations that are so hard to get out of. It's like insane.
Yeah. I mean, like I've been out of my parents' house for since I was 23, I'm 28 now. And like hearing, like, I don't really talk to my parents that much, but hearing that kind of like made me like second guess about like what's going on, you know?
Yeah, it definitely does. It kind of grounds you a little bit.
Yeah.
Cause that gave me the, as soon as I got back from Alabama, like a week or two later, I was like, I'm fucking going to rehab, dude. I'm fucking, it was crazy. But, yeah, man, shit, dude. I didn't really think I was going to open up like this, man, but I kind of love it. I love the talks like this.
Yeah, no, I mean, I like when people open up. It's very therapeutic in my eyes.
Yeah.
And you're going back to school. You told me at some point, right?
Yeah, it's up in the air. I wouldn't be opposed to it. I don't know, man. Honestly, like, because I was in real estate for a year down in Maryland. I just going back to school, I don't know if I want to. It's like one of those things that, like, I'm not going to shut the door on the thought of it and be like, nah, like, I'm never going back. But, like, with the fucking TikTok or, like, just a job in general, like, my family has businesses back home. Like, I don't really – I'm going to have to, like, really know why I'm going to school, what I want to do with my degree if I decide to go back. Like, I'm not just going to go to go. Like, if I'm – I would end up – I need to have a purpose on why I'm going, or, like, I'd probably just fall back into, like, partying if I went back.
Yeah, no, I feel that. I dropped out of my junior year because I wasn't learning shit. I went to West Coast. And literally, I was, like, 23 sitting in there. I'm like, I'm not learning anything. This is, like, from 1990. Who's going to use this shit, you know?
No, and I'm the biggest, like, I'm, like, one of those guys, bro. I just, like, I hate institutions. I hate fucking school. My parents sent me to boarding school in high school. It was bullshit. Like, I thought public school sucked. I didn't learn anything there. I thought boarding school was just as bad. It was the same thing. And it was just, like, I think a lot of the resentment I had for school when my parents were like, you're either going to pay to live in our house or we'll pay for you to go to college. I'm like, well, I'm going to college. I'm just going to go fucking run shit up. And that's when I was just said, fuck it, and started just going hard as fuck. And that's, like, I guess it's another, like, life lesson, like, I'm learning is, like, resentment and fear in general can fucking ruin, can put you in a grave. Just those two emotions, if you let them, like, manifest themselves in you, they can fucking ruin you. Yeah. And it's like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to, and, like, when it, and it puts people in the grave because they don't know how, they don't, like, have anyone to talk to either.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. No comment. You know, I know a lot of people who have gone through a ton of shit like that in my personal life, you know.
Nah, same here, dude. And I know got a lot of friends that, you know, couldn't figure it out, and it's sad. Like, at my age, like, you wouldn't. It's becoming more normal and normal. And that's, like, another thing. Like, you know, I do all the nicotine stuff on TikTok, and I'm just like, it's funny, it's nicotine, like, at the end of the day. But, like, at the same time, it's, like, still, it's, like, not the healthy. Like, I'm trying to, like, be a positive influence. But, like, at the same time, like, I love humor. I love comedy. I fuck with my comedy. I don't have a filter. So it's, like, trying to, like, manage that and not it's a lot to manage, for sure.
Now, when you're doing dark humor, does that put you in a dark place at all, or does it just lift you up?
It's so fun. I love it. I love it. Yeah. It's fucking hilarious. And it's, like, even, like, today, like, I mean, I have no idea what's going on in Palestine. Like, no clue. And maybe that's just because, like, maybe I need to be better with that. I don't know. But, like, just in general. But, like, I made a joke and I thought it was fucking hilarious. And I just, the way that I look at it is, it's, like, nobody else is going to make the joke. People want to hear the joke. People want to hear the joke, especially in America, bro, when we're thousands of miles away. Like, nobody, it's not that, like, I hope everybody's, like, I pray for everybody, I guess, but, like, it's, somebody's going to make the joke eventually. I might as well be the first one to make it.
Yeah, before some, yeah. That's the thing, too. Like, a lot of people are afraid to say lines, too. That's the other thing.
Yeah, people are afraid, and then they, when there's somebody that'll say what's on their mind or make a little joke, then people fuck with that because people are like, damn, like, I was thinking the same thing, but, like, I wasn't going to say it.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing with Lyft, like, to Lyft part-time, aside from the radio job. And literally, like, I made a joke, a fucked up joke, and I got my account taken out because the person got, I'm just like, really, over that? I was like,
yeah. It's crazy. It's just another thing for people to like feel like they're a part of. It's like, not to get like, I guess, I don't know. I don't know if you're like a conspiracy guy or not, or, but I don't know. I don't know what we can talk about on here.
I mean, I don't know. There's just so much shit going on in the world. Like, I was with the whole Palestine thing. It's kind of out the other day. I was yelling at fucking Twitter because I'm just like thinking, like, this is war. This is like a third world war waiting to happen.
Yeah. And it's like this like conflict has been going on for so long and people act like it just started.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, it's like it's literally been happening for so long. But no, I don't know. I guess that's just been on my mind because I posted the video. It was just a fantasy football punishment. Like, at the end of the day, I've said worse on TikTok. Oh, but yeah. I said so much worse.
Where do you come up with this?
It's the mind, bro. I don't know, man. Yeah.
Like, comedian or anything, or no?
Huh? Sorry?
Comedian?
Yeah, do you know who Lil Sasquatch is?
I feel like I heard the name before.
Yeah, he's a Barstool Sports guy. Do you know, you know Roan?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I figure because he's a huge Philly guy. So they, Lil Sasquatch is probably, and it's weird because he's the same age as me, but like I've been following him for like 4 years before he was on Barstool. I just thought he was the funniest motherfucker, and we had the same comedy. And now he does a podcast with Roan, with Barstool, and that's probably, yeah, he's probably my favorite person that's in the game. And he's doing like a bunch of stand-up tours and shit like that. But like, I don't know if that's something I'd want to get into, but I definitely fuck with what he does. And he's kind of been unfiltered too. And he's smart with it and clever with it. And I feel like I sort of am with what I say, but I try to be clever. So like people, cause it's very easy for people to take things the wrong way. And, I can't control everybody's reaction, but like at the end of the day, like I'm going to try my best to make it in a way so that the majority of people can be like, this dude's fucking around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Like a lot of people will, there's like two sides. So you got someone who's going to be like, this guy's fucking around and this guy is really serious.
Yeah.
But if you really listen, like somebody who really listens to your videos, cause that's what I do. I listen to your videos. And I listened just a couple times, and you could tell that you're really just fucking around. That's really your persona.
Yeah.
It's kind of like what Howard Stern did back in, like, the 90s. Like, how, like, you know?
Yeah, that's so true. And it's, like, it's just so funny. And maybe that's, like, something that I, just in the past, like, I've always, like, wanted to push the button. I've always wanted to, like, because that's, I just learned at a young age, like, that's how you get the attention. That's how you get the money. That's how you get like the girl or whatever it is like in life. Like, I try to just not be like bland and like, just like, I don't know. I've always wanted to be like a little, like a step up from the person. Maybe that's competitive or like arrogant or whatever, but like, I just think that's like, that's what you got to do to make it. I don't know. I mean, I'm learning as I go. Just in general.
That's what I do. I pretty much push the button. Like,
yeah.
I see fucked up things. Like, if somebody cuts me off, somebody beeps with their horn at me, I'm like, I'm fucking getting in a car accident. I hope you go bald. I really make fun of bald people. I made a rap about some bald guy a long time ago, and I was so bad. It was so bad, I didn't even release. I don't even remember where it's at on my phone, but
yeah.
Yeah, the guy, like, this guy was just bald. I was like, I fucking hate these bald people. They always think they're so, they're white supremacists, and yeah.
Yeah, and, dude, like, how do you, just grow hair, bro. Just grow hair.
It gives me, like, a fear, because, like, I feel like, all right, well, my dad has hair, my uncle has hair, and then on my mom's side, like, her brothers are bald, so it makes me think, I'm going to go bald now. I was like, I hope not. But
you'll be good, bro. We won't let that happen. We won't let you go bald. I know I can't go bald.
I don't look good with that.
Nah, I'd look fucking crazy. I'd look like a cancer patient. They, I can't be walking around with no hair, man. And,
I love going up, like pushing the button and like going up further than somebody else because it just makes you feel good.
Yeah, somebody, it is. It's a rush.
And then like you get that one person who gets really pissed. You know?
Yeah. That's what I'm grateful for, I guess. Like, I don't, for the most part, like most of my, I'd say like 95% of my comments are positive and people fuck with it. So it's like when I get those comments, those 5%, like it's easier to handle and just be like, oh, I don't really fucking care. But if it was like flipped, I don't know how I would deal with that. So it's like, it's really just a playing game, I guess. Just a game. I mean, it's like anything. It's just a little fucking game. Oh.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. That's the name of the game. And now, make any money with TikTok, like with sponsors or no?
Making a little right now. I got this one guy is I'm actually using this fucking koozie as a thing to put my phone to hold it up. But it's like a, you can put your, you know, unscrew that, put your all your Zen cans in it. Or you could put a cup in it, shit like that. And I mean, it's pretty cool. He's paying me a little, kind of promote that, and I'll kind of be like the face of his TikTok page. And there's this new app. It's called Tally It. These two college kids from George Washington, they created this app, and it's essentially a Vine just for college kids, and they're paying me a little bit a month to post 5 times a day on there. Because they only have like 2,000 users right now. They're still working on the algorithm. They're very early and working on everything. They seem like smart guys, and they're like, they know what they're doing. And it's definitely hard to like, you know, post 5 times a day, like, because I'm doing TikTok at the same time and like whatever. But invest early in this. Like, it could become a dog shit platform. But at the same time, like, it could blow up. You just never know. They're 15-second videos max, like kind of like a Vine thing. The app's cool. The way that they have it, it's a good little setup. It's literally like looks like a TikTok. The way that it's designed, it's cool. And what was I gonna say? Yeah, I'm making a little bit off this the nicotine from overseas. I have a link, and this new company, they're sending me a bunch of tins. And they're going to pay me like just straight up like 75 a video. So that'll be cool. Do one of those a week. So the shit's just like starting to pop for sure. Like I knew it would come at some point if I kept it up. I feel like I'm on the edge right now. I'm on the edge of like, I don't know. Like I'll hit 100 here pretty soon. And who fucking knows what could go from there. I have no idea, but it's definitely nice to see some of it pay off. Cause it was definitely, a joke at first. Like I was just being funny and just fucking around.
Yeah, that's kind of what I did. I made a video about being stalked, and then it got like 6,000 views in like 2 hours. I'm like, well, that's kind of cool. I was like, let's see how far I can go with this. Then the 6,000 views turned into 100,000 views. I was like, okay. I was like, this is actually like blowing up. So I just started going with it. Gained about 12,000 followers in about a week. Fell off the face of the earth, and I just was like, you know, let's just bring the stalking videos back. That's more traction than what I get making like another video on TikTok. About 3,000 right now. And it's all hard. You know?
That's like, for me, like the fantasy football punishments, that'll be a forever classic. Like, and especially if I get big, like real big, like Freezer Tarps. Who's a great guy. I was the same way. I was like, all right, I know I have some other funny angles I can go at, but like the fantasy football punishments are just getting 500,000, 1 million, 2 million, 3 million. Like the views are just insane. So since it's my third year doing it, like I know exactly, like it's like July until week one when you can just crush the fantasy football punishments. And then like now I'm starting to take the other avenues. Like I'm going to go out today and ask like random girls at Westchester University, like, do you have any idea what's going on in Palestine? And then like, just like you know, like Salim the Dream, like Nalk.
Yeah.
And when he's like, when they answer and then he's like, you know, can you just say that again, but like shut your mouth and just like funny, just funny shit like that. And I think that's another angle I could go. Cause like the nicotine is just like, it's not going to last. I know that I'm not ignorant. And the same thing with the fantasy football punishments, when there's a time of the year for those. And, you know, I mean, I'll keep coming back to that every year, but I need the other 10 months, and I need to figure out what to do and how to grow in that period of time as well. Cause I can't just, if I want this to actually be something that I can like do, I need something other than just fucking like talking about wars and like going to Saudi Arabia. You know what I mean?
Well, where'd you come up with the Malvern one? That was kind of interesting. I never, like, I like, it was just interesting. I was just like, Malvern. I was like, what are you doing all the way out there? And then I realized, I was like, well, it's only 10 minutes, but.
Dude, I just thought it, me and my friend make jokes about, because we're working the part-time job at this carpet store in Malvern. And we just make jokes about how it's like an iPhone factory in China and like that we're slaving away at 9 to 5. And so we were just making jokes because like, obviously it's like one of the safest places in probably the whole country. And we were just like, yeah, like it's fucking, you know, like the fucking National Guard's out. Like they got people up in bunkers and just like making it seem like it was a war zone. And it was obviously completely satire. And some people were like, oh my God, this is crazy. Like prayers out from Allentown. Oh my God.
If you want to go to a real dangerous area, just go to Kensington. That's that's where my father-in-law lives. We, I'll never forget it. We were walking through Kensington and his girlfriend, my wife's dad's girlfriend was like, keep looking down. You're going to see needles. I'm like, well, I was like, can I have it? And so I was like, where he lives though, he lives about 5 miles from, maybe not five, but like 5 blocks from like Kensington, which is kind of interesting because we see a lot of, he calls them toe touch.
Yeah. Dude, I'm sure it's got to be a fucking shit show there. I have a friend, his good buddy lives in, like, goes to Temple, lives in North Philly. I mean, I don't know who the fuck would just choose to do that in the first place. Because, like, dude, I get it. But, like, if you grew up in Malvern, why are you going to college in North Philly? I don't know. That's just – I wouldn't do it. But, bro, witnessed – maybe I shouldn't say this. I'm not going to say exactly this extent because we're online. But, like, bro witnessed something really crazy and, like, not okay happening right outside of his window, outside of the Temple apartment. And, like, that shit's scary.
Yeah.
Because, like, I know how bad Baltimore is. And D.C., obviously there's parts of D.C. that are horrible. But, like, D.C. for the most part is, like, safe because, like, I mean, it's the capital of the country and shit. But, like, Baltimore is bad. And I know how bad it is. But, like, Philly seems like it's worse.
It is. I mean, I get scared going down to Philly sometimes because we just had to ride for, like, I don't know, about a week or two ago. And where the riots were happening, my father-in-law, he said his neighbor, one of the guys tried to break into his neighbor's house as the riots were going on. The one guy got away and then another guy got, you know, arrested because he was the other guy trying to break in. And he's like, I'm 50 fucking years old and this shit's happening. He was like, I got to get out of the city. He was like, I can't do it anymore. I can't worry about you two coming home at night. Cause we're 45 minutes from the city. So, you know.
Right. Nah, that's like, that's real. I mean, like it's bad. And it's like, it's very easy to not think about it when you're 45 minutes away and in Westchester. And like, that's the same thing, like where I grew up, like hour from DC, hour 15 from Baltimore. Like, it's not real. It's not real. But like, it's some real shit, dude. And it's crazy to think like that's going on like very short drive away. Yeah.
I mean, have you ever, you know, Chester, Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah.
I got a gun pulled on me there.
Really?
Yeah. So I used to work at Crozier Hospital, and I parking attendant. So there was some guy who knew I had like a badge to let people in and out if like the gate didn't work or if I could just let myself in and out. This guy pulled a gun on me over $3.
That's crazy.
All he had to do was just pay $3, and then he pulled a gun on me, said he's going to shoot me if I don't let him out. Let him out.
Yeah, I would let him out.
Yeah. And my dad, who he was the manager at the time, he said, why'd you let him go? I said, my life's worth more than fucking $3, dude. I'm like, you can take it out of my paycheck. I don't care. It's $3. I can make that in like 2 minutes.
Yeah, literally. That's crazy, dude.
Yeah, I'll never forget that.
No, I wouldn't forget it either.
Because, like, I even driving through Chester now, because, like, I do live sometimes, I wind up in Chester, but I don't even take rides in Chester or Philly. But even driving through it now, I just, like, always remember, I just got a gun pulled on me here. I know what the guy looks like, but, you know, I don't want to run into him again.
Nah, that's crazy. Yeah, that's some real shit. That's, like, it's been very easy for me to, like, be in a bubble, like, my whole life. And maybe I was always out of, like, an out-of-pocket kid, for sure, and, like, really just did whatever I wanted. But I knew, like, I always had something to fall back on. I knew I would never have to be in a situation, like, living in Philly or some shit like that. But, like, my eyes are definitely opening up a lot, and it's definitely – it's scary, dude, and it just makes me want to help people at the end of the day. And that's, like – that's why I'm trying to make, like, a bunch of fucking money. And, like, I don't even really, like – I don't know. Like I'm fine. I come from a good family, and like, I feel like if I make a bunch of fucking money, especially if it's online, like imagine, like it's different. Like if I decided to get like a fucking 50-hour-a-week sales job, right?
Right.
Yeah. Sure. Make a bunch of money, but like, how much time does that leave for like anything else? Like if I can make it online, then it's like, well, one, I can live wherever I want. Two, I have so much time to like, you know, I can start like a nonprofit and like actually like an actual nonprofit, not like the one when they took $2 billion and built 6 houses in Haiti. And like, you could actually be like good for the world. Like if you, and that's like, I think such an interesting thing about the internet and how many opportunities there are. Like, I don't know. They're just like, the sky's the limit, really.
Yeah. That's what you got to do. I mean, It's like what I do. Like, I worked a 9-to-5, and I knew 20 years down the line, if I continue doing what I'm going to do, and I'm going to get, what, maybe like 2 weeks of vacation a year.
Yeah.
With radio, I could work 4 hours a day, depending on what's going on, if they're not doing an event, but I could do like 4 hours a day, make, I don't know, $100 for a 4-hour shift, and then I could still make enough money to pay my rent and my car bill and all that shit.
Right. And then focus on like podcasts and like your other, like your, what you really want to do. And that's like, that's such a good way to look at it. Cause it's like, you can't like throw all your eggs in one basket, but like if you have something fucking solid, like you said, the 4 hours a day or whatever it is. And then that other time you're spending like grinding on something else that could get you to the point where like you're your own boss, this and that. Cause like, dude, I was a bookie down in Florida and I was my own boss, but like at the same time, I was so immature. I had no idea what to do with fucking $4,000 or $5,000 a week. Like I was in a menace, like, but like that mindset of like wanting to, like, if I were to get into that now, which is, I would not get back into that business. It was a fucking slime ball business. And like at some point down the line, somebody's going to like come for you or whatever. It's not, it's like, it's basically drug dealing, but it's the same exact principle. And but like I'm just trying to take that passion that I had for like gambling, and like that was, I fucking love sports. I'm trying to direct that into something else so I can be my own boss in a different way, and like in a more respectable way, which is just something I'm trying to do every day, because like I don't want to work for anybody else. I know I have to in the meantime. I have to, and I have to make money and pay my shit now. But like in the long run, like I want to be that guy that has people working for him, has a great company or whatever it is, and like people just fuck with working for. So I'm trying to be that guy, but it takes a lot. It's a lot of hours, and it's a lot of, I mean, you know it, dude. It's like, it's a fucking hustle. Trying to find time to get on podcasts, like, it's tough. I'm sure you feel the same way.
Oh, it is. I mean, like, last week when we were going to do it, I was dreading it because I'm just like, I'm fucking tired. I still got to, like, I'm doing Lyft right now to pay my fucking taxes. And I'm just like, I can't fucking do this. I was like, I'm too fucking tired. So, like, it is. It's a big hustle. You know what I mean? It's
for sure
training, and like I love my job, but at the same time, it does wear you out. And all my friends who are my age are like, "Oh, you have an easy job." It's really not an easy job. Like,
yeah,
I gotta be on point with everything. Hence is why I smoke weed, because I gotta be on point with everything. Focus. You know.
Dude, and that's the same way with, like, the TikTok. It's like, I literally, like, will set an alarm and disrupt my sleep cycle to post at an algorithm time. It's like, there's shit that is, like, a way that you got to do this thing sometimes. And it's like, but that's, and it might not seem like a big sacrifice. Like, I just go back to bed. But, like, it's like those little things that you do every day that take you, just separate you from the other person. That's like, because, like, everybody's trying to get fucking big online, and it's like, what are the little things that you're going to do and the to put you ahead? That's the way I look at it, because like, I didn't think that it was going to be something where I was gonna be like, oh fuck, now I'm gonna start making money. I just wanted to make some fucking controversial jokes online, my guy. So I don't know, man. It's just keep grinding, and like, positive things just start showing up.
That's what I like about you. I mean, like, yeah, you make dark jokes, but you're very positive and you want positive things to happen, which is like, it's very rare to find that in this day and age, because everyone's so negative all the time. You know what I mean?
All the time, bro. And it's like, that you get the exact energy you put out. And I can't be around people that are negative. I just can't. Like, I'm very, like, I call it, like, spiritually fragile. Like, I'm very prone to falling into a mindset, even if it's just for, like, an hour or, like, 30 minutes. But if I'm around somebody that's super negative, it affects me very, very quickly. And I have to – I'm kind of to the point now, like, in my sobriety and stuff, that I'm able to notice it and flip it in my mind. But – in the past, that's fucked me up so many times. Like, I've let other people drag me down, and it's like, I'm not going to let that shit happen again. You know what I mean?
I mean, I hear it too. It's like, this past, in the summertime, my wife and I had it wasn't really an argument about us. She walked out, and somebody who I thought was really close to me said, she basically said, you guys should break up. We've been together for 6 years, 2 years married, 6 years official. My wife walked out because she was hungry, and that's probably the best decision anybody could do. If you're pissed off at somebody or something, you just walk out and cool off. I went after her. This person said to me, you guys should make a change, and she insinuated that we should break up because I'd be 10 times happier. I'm like, you don't know what goes on behind closed doors. I was like, we're happy being together. And yeah, people fight, but if somebody fights, you don't break up with them because you didn't like what they did, you know?
Right.
And that's the negative thing I hate about, like, associating with this person, you know what I mean?
I have people like that in my life as well, and it's like, that's huge that you can recognize it. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at, and I'm in this thing, like, it's hard because it's like, I have so much going on in my life, and I like met this girl like a little bit ago, and I'm trying to, like, in the past, it's different now because, like, I have so much going on in my life. So it's like, that's more attractive to a girl anyways, but like, I'm trying to just play it cool. And like, in the past, I would just be like, it would take up all of the space in my mind, and now it's not. So like, it's like, I'm trying to, it's like adding another thing to your life. And it's like, I do really like her. I think it would, like, we have a connection. It could be sick if we grow it, but like, I'm trying to just play it slow and like cool. And like, I can't throw all of my energy into another person. That's not even like because I have a lot going on. It's just like something that I've learned is like, nobody else is going to make you like happy. Maybe they will, but like, and especially if you get married and like you've been together for a long time, like eventually like that bond gets so strong. But like for me right now in my life, it's like I need to be comfortable in my own skin 24/7. If I add a girl to that, that's fucking sick. That'll be awesome. But like, I can't let it throw me off kilter. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Which is fine. I mean, like, you got, you're 22 or, well, 21, we'll be 22 soon. I mean, you got, I got in a relationship with Tori in I was 22 actually. So 2017, my last year in Westchester. And it was weird, like, putting all my energy into another person. You know what I mean? Like, it was really weird energy. But at the same time, I wouldn't change it for the world, you know?
Of course, yeah.
It was the first serious relationship I've had in a long time. I got out and I was in a relationship with a girl who was really suicidal and would say these fucking things and really put me in a deep, dark depression as well.
I bet, dude.
And like, I can joke about it now because it's funny. It's been 6 years. But I mean, back when I was with this girl, it was like, she ruined a lot of shit for me. I used to be in love with horror movies. She ruined horror for me because like now I'm getting bored watching horror movies. She wanted to do like a Romeo and Juliet thing where we both like kill ourselves. I'm just like, I can't do this. I was like, I really can't do this. Yeah. I gotta leave. We fought for 4 days when I was in Virginia for a wedding because she didn't want to hang out. And then she changed her mind. Oh, I want to hang out. No, sorry, I'm already away. It was fun.
Yeah, I've been in toxic shit like that before, and I'm trying to just like stay careful and like stay focused, and if the shit works out, then it works out, and I'm gonna like be the best guy I possibly can. But like, I can't. I just got in like all aspects of my life right now. I have to be careful, which is something that I've never even been aware of. I would just be like, fuck it, like whatever, like I'll do whatever I want. But like, I'm starting to just be like, I don't know. Maybe it's a part of like becoming an adult. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, well, you can still become an adult and have a fucked up thing.
Yeah. No, of course. Yeah, no, I'm not changing that part.
No, but it seems like you have a really good like outlook on life and you're very positive. I mean, a lot of kids your age don't even, they're just in college, you know, doing dumb shit. I mean, we've all done it. Yeah. I can't admit I've done dumb shit too, so. It's just nuts.
Yeah, it's like, and that's like this, I'd say over the last like 2 years when I've been struggling, like I always had that shit in the back of my mind. I was like, I'm going to figure this out. It might not be right now. It's going to be at some point. And it's just going to add so much value to my life, like in the long run. And that's like, that's something that's been keeping me going for the last couple of years. Is just like, there's going to be a point where I figure this shit out and I'm able to like, just look at life completely different. And some fucking how, like, it's starting to manifest itself, which is just fucking huge.
Yeah, that's great. Like, you know, like I thought this was going to be a different like type of interview, but no, like
me too.
I really enjoy this like conversation because it's really, I'm putting myself in your shoes and seeing what you went through. And it really just gives a good outlook on how you're doing in life right now.
Yeah, I appreciate that, dude. I didn't think we were gonna talk about this either. It kind of just, but I fuck with convos like that when it's like organic and it just happens. Like I'm sure we both in our head had a different plan of how it was gonna go. And this, I mean, it's just been a great talk, dude.
Yeah, definitely. We gotta link up one day.
That would be sick.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, I do want to ask you a couple questions actually real quick. Did you did you go to homecoming at all this year?
Homecoming? No, but I was in town and it was fucking packed.
Oh yeah, it was. I was doing it for a bit and that's when I saw like people getting thrown out of bars and fights. I almost got into, I almost hit somebody actually because people don't watching it, you know?
Yeah. No, it was, I've been up here since May, mid May, and it was the pride, like, it was popping the most I've seen. It's most I've seen it popping. And it looked like it was a lot of fun, but I was kind of just staying out of it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's, like I said, I can't go to a bar. If I go to a bar, I'll wind up getting in trouble. I mean.
Yeah, I know how that is.
It's, I won't get in trouble with another girl. I'll either be, excuse me, the one getting into a fight with somebody for hitting on my girl, or she'll be the one hitting on me. Excuse me, that's the problem. But what about, so why'd you come to Westchester, though? That's a one actual question I do have. What, like, compared to Maryland, Florida, where, you know, the places you've been, why Westchester?
Dude, it's actually a crazy story. So, like, well, first off, this one guy I went to rehab with last year, he's got, like, 18 months now sober, and he was living at this house, and now he's, like, he's involved with the staff, and he's a staff member now, and the guy who owns this place, it's called Synergy. There's, like, so at this, there's this main house and then step down houses, kind of getting people back on their feet and shit. And there's even like a girl's house. They have a bunch of shit going on, helping people that have struggled with like addiction and stuff. But the guy who owned this place, he actually came and spoke at my high school when I was in boarding school when I was 17. And we had, like, he ate dinner with my friends and shit and me, and like we had a really good combo. And even like a year after, he was helping me when I was struggling with something. And I had no idea that he owned this house until like I was thinking about coming, and they kind of like fast paced me in and got me in. And it was literally like I did the mushroom journey, and I came here 3 days later. And so it's really kind of like surreal how I even got to Westchester in the first place. I had a friend that played hockey here. He's a couple years older than me, but I've never been here. And like I knew some guys that went to Malvern, but that's about it. And I'd never been here before, and I kind of just got thrown in here 5 months ago.
And you get to explore the town, obviously, right?
Yeah, I got a lot of privileges and shit. Got my car up here, so it's like always out and about.
You know, Bam Margera is from here, right?
I saw him one day. He was going to court.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, it was him, his wife or girlfriend, whatever, and like five dudes in suits. he looked rough, bro.
Yeah. He was actually at my job last week. Yeah, him.
Seriously.
Yeah, I was kind of, I didn't get to meet him, unfortunately, but, you know, I just know he's not doing too hot. But,
yeah. Anyway, he's crazy.
I mean, do you think he'll ever get out of that depression or whatever he's in, or no?
I hope so, bro. But like, it's one of those things that you can't
force.
Yeah. And you're never going to get out of it until like you truly want to. That's kind of what I was trying to, the perspective I was trying to aim at earlier. Like there's no, one other person like can't make you get better. Like, it's got to come from deep in your inner self, and like, and it takes a lot. It's hard as fuck. And like, I'm nowhere near where I want to be, but like, there was no way that I was going to kick the addiction until I like had that spiritual awakening and was just like, I got to fucking do this like for myself. Like, I'm not going to do it for my parents anymore. I'm not going to do it to please anybody. I'm not going to do it to get like, so I can make more money or so I can get a girl. Like, I have to do it for myself. And like, everything else is just going to follow. And I think I'm seeing small examples of that in my life manifesting right now, but it's like, I only have 5 months. Like if I keep doing the shit I'm doing, like who knows where I'll be at in 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you got to do. There's a guy with a similar story than you. He's 50 or 60. He did drugs back in like the 70s. And he told me some fucked up shit. He's been sober for 40 years or something like that.
Yeah.
And he wrote show called Clean and Sober, where he just talks about, he has like frequent guests on the show who've been sober, who went through an addiction like you did, and they're sober now, and he loves talking about it. And it's weird because they talk about the drugs that they do, which I find very odd. I mean, it's a show about sober, but no, the guy's like a pretty nice guy, and he does a show every Friday, which is kind of cool.
I would love to get in touch with him if that was possible.
Yeah, no, let me talk to him about you. I'll definitely see if he can get you on. It's every Friday from 3 to 4, and it's on live radio. It's on AM radio. But
that's sick.
FM HD too. So, I mean, like, I could try to get him in touch with you.
That'd be really cool, dude.
Definitely. I'll hit him up today, see what he thinks, and we'll get him on.
Fuck yeah, dude. That'll be cool, man. I don't know.
And you get to come.
I know, right? I just wanted to say thanks again for having me on. This was sick, and I'm looking forward to meeting you, bro, and definitely do it again.
Definitely, yeah. I'm down for whatever, man. Thank you for coming on. I mean, you know, we could do this more and more, and we'll link up one day.
Yeah, dude. That would be awesome.
I'm like 3 miles away from the school, so I'm not even that far. I'm like a 10-minute drive, not even 5-minute drive.
Yeah, dude, let's grab lunch sometime soon.
Definitely, I'm down. Usually Mondays, we'll figure it out.
Me too. Mondays are my good day usually.
Cool. All right, well, thanks again.
Absolutely, brother. I'll talk to you soon, man.
Talk to you soon. Thanks.
Peace, dude.
Peace. Yep.
All right, guys, that was the interview. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you did, make sure you follow me on Spotify and Google Podcasts. Also, producer TJ995, TJTV6 on TikTok as well. Producer TJ and TJTV6 on TikTok. Also, go follow me, TJTV on Facebook and TGleason22 on Instagram. You get to see all of my crazy stories and whatnot. Also, I'm starting to do a little bit more content on Instagram as well. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. Like I said, great interview today. It was really fun. I hope to be back tomorrow. I'm going to try to do more episodes this week because, you know, I just love podcasting. I really love the platform. Also, I've been thinking too, as well, like, I wanted to do movie reviews. I really did, but I'm just not in the mood to do movie reviews. I mean, yeah, they're cool, and yeah, like, I just love talking about movies, but I'm not going to do any this year. I'm just not. It's kind of redundant and lame in a way, I feel like, but I'll just talk about my favorite Halloween movies and, you know, maybe in the next episode. All right, so the next episode, we're going to be talking about conspiracy theories that happens in kids' TV shows. For example, like Rugrats, Ed, Edd n Eddy, Pokemon. There are thousands of theories out there. And, like, I guess creepy tastas or whatever they're called. So we're going to be talking about that. That should be a fun episode. But yeah, that's it for today. Love you guys all to death. And I'll see you guys soon. Check me out on TikTok. I'll be doing some content on there as well today. And Instagram, TGleason22. I also wanted to talk about like the Israel and Palestine war going on. I mean, it's crazy. It's just stupid shit. I mean, I don't want to get into a political podcast. I mean, some of my episodes have that, but not all. But in any event. All right, love you all to death. I'll see you guys later, and bye.